As promised, we start this hour by having a conversation with a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter as well. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, which is an excellent podcast. He is Therese Paylor. Therese, what's going on? How are you?
Vance Mack, how's it going? Thanks for having me on again, man.
Dude, good to have you on. Always good to talk football with you. Hey, let me ask you first about Darren Waller. He had a huge game for the Raiders, but before we actually talk about that game, you had a great piece on him last week. Some people are familiar with that story, some are not. He's had a battle with addiction. For those who do not know the story, when did he first become addicted?
Back in his teens, Jim. Thanks for the compliment on the story, by the way. Back in his teens, growing up in suburban Atlanta, he's expounded upon this a little bit with Dan Pompeo of The Athletic, but he had a lot of self-confidence issues. He didn't feel black enough, X, Y, and Z. He did things to try to fit in. It plagued him throughout his time at Georgia Tech, where he was very talented. I actually remember scouting him and evaluating him for my draft preview. I'm like, man, this guy's really talented. And he only went in the sixth round because of those issues. Drafted by the Ravens, again, very talented, but the issues continued in Baltimore. He ultimately got help. He nearly overdosed. He got help after that and has seemed to really turn the corner of his life and really, really touched it, tapped into some of his talent, and has made the most of it. Now, it's a day-to-day thing for Darren Waller now, but he's trying to pay it forward. He started the Darren Waller Foundation. He's got an upcoming gala coming up to try to raise money to help youth who are going through addiction struggles. And, he's a guy who's easy to push for because he knows that he remains vulnerable. And he knows that on a day-to-day basis, this is a fight. But we've all got stuff we're fighting, Jim. And I think that's why it's so easy to root for him.
We're talking to Therese Paylor. I think that's very well said. You know, as you write, though, if you go back, this is how bad this was. He had a near-death experience when he overdosed in his car in 2017. Where was he at that point in his life and his career?
I think he was lost. And he's mentioned this before. You know, he had this golden opportunity in front of him to become a millionaire and play in the NFL and do things that, millions wish they could do. But he was so lost in the throes of addiction, he didn't appreciate it. And, he nearly lost his life because of it. And because of that moment, his nadir, he went to a great rehab facility. Now he's back. He earned a extension last October when it became apparent that this guy was a huge matchup problem. He has continued to get better, and he is somebody that last night they couldn't handle him. The Saints couldn't handle him with defensive backs, and he's too fast and too big for linebackers. So, it's an awesome story to see a great football player show the kind of resilience and grit and perseverance that most people really, really appreciate. And again, it's a day-to-day battle.
Not only that,
really cool to see.
I was going to say, not only that, he's fought that battle. He continues to fight that battle, and he's giving back. He starts a foundation in Vegas to help young people avoid or overcome addiction to drugs and alcohol. So, Therese, when you look at the Raiders overall, they fall behind 10-0. And if you don't know any better, you might think to yourself, same old Raiders. And then they drop a 31-7 run on the Saints. What do you make of the way the Raiders' offense and defense responded to that early start?
I think this is a team that's rejuvenated a little bit. This is Gruden's third season. And look at what they've accomplished so far this year. They got a long way to go, but, I think they're building. They've been building to this point where they know what they are offensively. They're going to be powered by Josh Jacobs. Derek Carr is going to protect the football and take shots here and there. He's going to throw to the fullback. He's going to throw to the tight end. And down the field, we're going to start seeing the young receivers, who a lot of people are really high on, Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs, start making more of an impact in the pass game, because they're going to have to for the Raiders to finish with a winning record. Defensively, I'm not going to say this is the most talented team out there. I think they've still got a ways to go. But I see what they're building, right? In the secondary, they're big and they're fast. And in the defensive front, it's a lot better than it was even last year. So, I think the best of John Gruden's Raiders is ahead. Their problem is they play in the same division as the Chiefs, which might be the best team in football.
Therese Paylor joining us. I'm going to try and get to the Chiefs in 1 minute. But before I leave this game, what did you make of what you saw from the Saints, and especially offensively without Michael Thomas?
Well, I was impressed with the way they were still able to get Alvin Kamara involved without Michael Thomas. Because when Thomas isn't on the field, Kamara's got to be the defensive point of emphasis. But he still had a very productive game, which I think speaks a lot to Sean Payton's game-planning ability. But I was concerned that Drew Brees didn't push the ball down the field. You know, that's something that, you know, they're going to have to do. Like, they're going to have to, without Michael Thomas, as long as he's hurt, you know, they're going to have to take some shots here and there. But, they're still a really well-schemed offense. Payton still gets production out of those guys. I'd be surprised if they don't bounce back. I'm not at a point where I'm worried about the Saints. I still think that's, arguably the most talented team in the NFC, and I think they're going to be right there at the end of the season.
Therese Paylor joining us once again. All right, so what about the Pats? They did not win on Sunday night, but how does Cam Newton look to you, both in terms of how he's fitting into the offense after two games and how he's throwing the ball?
Well, in general, Jim, the Patriots have believed in controlling the football game with their ground game and play action for the last several years. That's how they've been doing it under Tom Brady. The difference now is that they can expound upon it and throw some real cool wrinkles in there because of Cam Newton's size and running ability. Their quarterback power is deadly. They can run zone leap reads. They're using a lot of pre-snap motion to confuse the defense. And that's the thing, when you do those things effectively, as we've seen with the Rams a little bit, it doesn't matter if defenses know it's coming, because there's a lot they have to process. And if you make one mistake, that's a chunk game. So I actually think this is going to continue for the Patriots. I think through two games, what I've seen in Cam Newton is a player who should likely be considered the odds-on favorite to win comeback player of the year. I see a quarterback who could very easily lead this team to 10 wins and a playoff win or two. The Patriots are going to be competitive and good all season. And I really, even though they lost on Sunday to the Seahawks, I'm really encouraged by what I see from them. The only thing that going to really come down to is can Cam stay healthy? And that's going to be the trick there. Nobody knows the answer to that.
We're talking to Therese Paylor. All right, back to the Chiefs. You mentioned them. Now, you are very familiar with that team. You've seen plenty of Patrick Mahomes. That Chargers defense gave Kansas City's offense some problems, and Mahomes still had more than 300 yards passing, 50 yards rushing. They get the win in overtime. I mean, how depressing is that for everybody in the AFC West that you can limit this guy, get up by double digits, and he's still going to find a way to come back and stab you in the heart?
You know, Jim, that's about... That's well said. That is, it's frustrating for sure, because that's about as bad as you'll see Mahomes play. And, you know, I talked about this on my podcast with Charles. Like, you know, there was still a feeling of inevitability throughout the course of that game. Like, oh, Chiefs get the ball back late. Well, Mahomes isn't going to let them lose. Like, it's Michael Jordan type stuff. Like, he doesn't let them lose games like that. I call them over my dead body games, where the team in general hasn't played very well. But if you give that guy a chance to stab you through the heart, he's going to do it. That's a special trait. And I'm just saying this. I'm sure you've got some listeners in Denver. He looks very, very much like John Elway in the mid-'80s. The only difference is Mahomes has already won his Super Bowl, right? And it's just an evolutionary Elway. And, yeah, that's a big compliment. But he's already won MVP. He's already won a Super Bowl. And you could even make a case that at this point he's already accomplished a lot of things. A lot of checklists you need to make the Hall of Fame. And he's just 25 years old. So special generational player. A lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, I mean, there's a really distinct possibility that I might ask you this very question every single time you come on this show. But you laid out the credentials, and we're talking about a guy who just turned 25. He still has only started 33 regular season games. He really hasn't played the game that long. How do you explain what we're seeing from this guy?
Generational talent, you know, obviously, you know, you got to have the talent in you, but the thing he has going for him too is that the people around him, really strong. His trainer, Bobby Stroop, has helped him. Like, those throws he makes, he trains those throws. He practices that stuff. And also his family has done an unbelievable job raising him. He's managed to stay humble throughout all this. And, you know, I think one thing that we really got to remember, that's a really big deal here, both his father and his godfather spent, you know, over 10 years in the big leagues. They played Major League Baseball. So Patrick got to spend time in clubhouses and see how A-Rod, see how Jeter approached their craft. And it's with diligence, hard work. There's no substitute for it. So he learned that. And also how to carry himself. And then he's got those guys giving him advice on how to carry himself in a locker room and how to lead, which explains how he's been such a good leader at 25. So really the perfect combination. And also, this is important, Jim, in football, quarterbacks also succeed because of the organization structure around them. He'd be good anyway, but he's great and generational and possibly transcendent because of the competent organization around him and a future Hall of Fame coach drawing it up and teaching. It takes all of it to become the greatest. But you can make a case that Mahomes has everything he needs to take a run in 6 rings.
Therese Paylor joining us. Six rings. That is a big, big number. I think you make a great point, too, about quarterbacks and what they need around them. They have to be in the right situation. There has to be a good fit. Most of all, they have to have the right organization. Where does that leave Russell Wilson as an example? Man, the guy looks absolutely unbelievable. How does he look to you, and does it feel like he might finally get an MVP vote or two this year?
I definitely think there's going to be a push for it because we all recognize how great of a football player he is, and it would be a shame if at the end of his career, and he will go into the Hall of Fame, he doesn't have an MVP. That's like an important, you know, tent pole for most quarterbacks. And he's certainly been good enough to win one at certain points. So, I think there's going to be a push for him to do it. You know, some of these other guys that can win it have already won it. And in general, I do think some people want to spread it around. So he looks great. It looks like the Seahawks are going to let him cut it loose a little bit more. He didn't cut it loose in week two like he did in week one, but it was still, he was throwing a healthy amount, even though the Seahawks were very balanced. I think it's certainly possible we could be looking at the Russell Wilson career year. He has the weapons around him to do it. The receiving core is very good. I think DK Metcalf's taking a step up. I've always liked Tyler Lockett. And then the secondary receivers have been good too. So, yeah, I think Seattle is on its way to a big season, especially with the struggle San Francisco's had staying healthy. And I think that Russell Wilson will keep this up, and he's going to be right there in the MVP race at the end, and he will deserve it.
Hey, Trez, one quick thought before you go. If you're the Cowboys, how are you feeling after that win on Sunday? For instance, do you feel good and that things are headed in the right direction after that comeback? Or are you pretty concerned about falling behind 20-0 and trailing by 15 with 5 minutes to go and looking at an 0-2 start? I mean, who are they?
I'm feeling relief because 0-2 in Dallas with this team and this roster would be a disaster. And that's when you start getting organizational input if you're coaching staff.
Right.
So, yeah. So I think it was really important for them, you know, just for Mike McCarthy's program to just start 1-1 and not 0-2. That would be a big deal down there. So, look, you're concerned, right, because I think Atlanta's competitive, and they actually have a really good offense, but as you saw, their defense leaves some things to be desired. I think I'd be relieved in like, all right, let's get to work. And here's one thing to remember, too. This is very important, Jim. They were out their top three offensive tackles. So that was a devastating loss to Atlanta in the sense that you get up 20-0, their tackles are – the Cowboys' tackles are completely unproven. You know they're going to have to throw it a little bit, and you still blow the lead. Whew, it's hard to come back from that in the NFL, Jim. So
yeah,
if I'm Dallas, I take pride in that.
It was a devastating loss for the Falcons, Therese, but unfortunately very much on brand with them. He's a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He's a Hall of Fame voter. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast along with Charles Robinson, which is a great listen. Therese, appreciate you. Always good to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Jim. You know that. Thank you.
Good job, man. Always. Always. I'm a big fan of both those guys, Therese and Charles, as you know, because you hear them on this show.